Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at JustAskVi. That's VI.com.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. It's Paul Jamison, your host. So glad that you are with us and spending your Saturday with us today. Thank you for that. If you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener, you know that the show Your Real Estate Today is all about real estate, your home, your mortgage, all the different things that you're doing out there. It's about that. It's about getting information to you about real estate and about the things that may matter to you, and so we're excited to spend Saturday with you. I own Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments. Have two guests on today. Sandy's going to do the Mortgage Minute, and I've also got Michelle Wine with the Costner Law Firm, who will be joining us in the second segment. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of things, from deed searches to titles, and it's just some information that I think will be helpful to you as you think about your home. So excited for that. So let's start the show as we always do. What did the old dog, aka me, learn this week? Well, let me just tell you. Sneaky is not cool. Sneaky is not cool. And I'm not talking about taking somebody's sandwich out of the office fridge. I'm talking about sneaky. This week, two buyer agents on the other side of a transaction in the middle of Sandy, you're going to gasp. In the middle of the transactions, switched lenders.
No.
Without informing us that they did it. Not only did they switch lenders, they went from conventional financing to FHA. Now, there's this little form that a seller has to sign, right, Sandy?
Yes, that's right.
That says, we will accept an FHA loan and all the terms and conditions that go along with it. Now, the sneaky little agents didn't know that, you know, my seller's got to sign that form. Well, we didn't sign that form. So they're going down a rabbit hole. That's going to be a little bit of a problem. If they would have brought it to us, talked to us about it, talked through the conditions and the why, instead of being sneaky, then we would have had something. And you know what? I feel really bad for the buyer. The buyer doesn't know that that's the buyer agent's responsibility. So don't be sneaky. Be upfront in everything that you do. It makes a difference. All right. Another thing I learned this week. We have filled the world with things that matter. Well, here's the one I learned this week. Handrails matter. Why do I talk about handrails matter? And no, I do not have a mask or anything or a sign that says that. Twice. 2X. Twice. appraisers have come back for a reinspection at $175 a clip for a handrail. How do you think the buyer feels that they got to dish out another $175 so that the appraiser can make sure that the handrail is attached to the house? Can we not send you a picture? I mean, come on. What a waste of time. There you go. You talk about sneaky. All right, next. All right. In a showing, you got 45 seconds to make that sale. 45 seconds. They're either going to turn around and walk out or create a preconceived notion about the house, or they're going to keep going. That first 45 seconds is critical. The drive up, the walk in, the experience at the door if you can't get the daggum thing open, or if there's spider webs all over and those little newspapers that nobody pays for all littering your front porch. If you can't get in, you know, if you walk in and the very first thing you see is a giant oil painting lit up of Aunt Bessie and her poodle, you're going to set the stage for potentially a problem. Or if the furniture and the layout is not clean, or it's not clean, I mean, you name it. Focus on the first 45. If you're getting ready to sell, think 45 seconds makes the deal. And I'm telling you, it really does. So I tell people that are on a limited budget, focus on the 45. That's where the impression is set. You don't have a second chance to make a first impression. I know y'all have heard that before. That is not something I made up. But I want to tell you, you've got to think about the first 45. Work with your agent to do that. That's important. All right, here's another one. Pet odor. Oh, my. Pet odor, people. I know you've heard this before, but if you crank up the air, if you put that spray stinky stuff that you plug in and you make it smell like an incense factory, you need to do something else. I'm allergic to cats and to some breeds of dogs. And odor is a real issue. Someone asked me how to get rid of cat smell, and didn't have the money to change the carpet. I said, well, first get rid of the cat. And the second thing I said, you don't have the money to change the carpet, I said, change the pad. Because all you do when you clean the carpets is push the stink back down in the pad. You never get rid of the smell. Now, there's a vapor barrier pad that you can now get that has a sheet of plastic over the top so that stink never gets down in there. That's the kind, if you got a pet, if you're going to get carpet, that's the kind of pad you want. All right? Vapor barrier pad, and wipe down the baseboards and change the air filters. And wherever the cat hangs out, get rid of it, like the piece of furniture, or if it's, you know, if it hangs out on the couch and the couch looks like some sweaters that I used to own, you know, get rid of it. All right, Sandy.
Yes.
Give me the mortgage update, lady.
Okay, so rates are really, really terrific right now. We might see them bouncing around over the next little bit. They may go up a little and then come back down. Because we're seeing some inflation that's popping up. No surprise there. the CPI, Consumer Price Index. So, but in spite of all that, refis are up year over year, 47%. Purchases are up 22% year over year. Refis are 66% of all transactions right now. Something super interesting is that the clothing world is coming out with antiviral clothing. So I don't know. I think that's going to be a marketing hype, but it's interesting.
Oh, no.
Because we all know that you get the virus from airborne droplets, but I think it might work. So Overall, expect great rates and a lot of activity.
What color is the antiviral clothing?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh,
what
are
color
you
would
serious?
You make it?
TJ and I are in here looking at each other, going, "Really? Really? Now, I did see a picture on Facebook today that a friend of mine sent. He took a selfie, and behind him, the reason, you know, some people take selfies is so you can, you're not taking a direct picture of the thing that you want to really take a picture of, right? You know, the indirect selfie. There was a guy in Walmart in one of those suits that you wear to go in, the paper suits with the hood and the plastic mask.
Oh, the hazmat.
The full hazmat treatment. Shopping in Walmart. And I'm just like, go to the moon, man. Have stuff delivered. If you got to wear that, I mean, you got bigger issues, right? Yeah, you got bigger issues. All right, Sandy, they can get to you if they want to refi or do a purchase mortgage at
704-577-0144.
All right, 704-577-0144. Coming up after the break, we're going to have Michelle Wine with the Costner Law Firm talking to us about title and about real estate title searches, the purposes of those, what happens if there's a problem with your title. We've got a whole lot going on, and I've got things to share as well that you're going to be shocked about. So stay with us on your Saturday. We'll be right back to Show Your Real Estate Today here on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Hello, friends. Happy Saturday. Welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Thanks for spending your Saturday afternoon with us. This show, if you're just popping on, is about real estate. I'm Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison family of companies. That's Realty Property Management and Property Investments. Here with Michelle Wine with the Costner Law Firm. Hey, Michelle.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Welcome back. Welcome back. And know that if you want to listen to us, not just through 1110 or 99.3, you can jump on radio.com if you're in one of those areas and want to keep listening or listen anytime to WBT, or you can get on the WBT website to the shows tab. And of course, you can watch us through the recorded Zoom on the Jamison Realty YouTube channel. And that's Jamison with an I. All right, Michelle. So we've got a pretty big title. Little play on words to our show today. So let's start out with the basics, right? What is a title and what is a title search?
Okay, so title to property basically is going to disclose like who the owner is of the property, whether there are any liens on the property, any judgments. So basically giving the legal interest in the property so that we know who the current owner is,
okay.
Who holds the power to sell the property.
Mm-hmm. I guess in all of your years, who sometimes those that say they own don't always own. Of course, you're what, 19 years old? So the reality is in your
that.
1 year of law school and graduated early, you know, there's got to be conflicts that come about with this sometimes, right?
Oh, for sure. There's definitely conflicts. Most of the time with ownership conflicts, I think it comes down to if people have been given property when, you know, their grandmother passed away or their mom passed away, that tends to be where most people think, oh, yeah, I definitely own this property. It's my property to sell. And when you get down into the title search and actually looking through the documents, whether that's a will or maybe they died without a will, you start looking into the intestacy and you say, actually, you do own a portion of this property, but not all of it. You know, there's some other people that also hold ownership interests. I think that's the main place that I have seen ownership problems.
Yeah. So the purpose of this title search is to make sure, I guess, there are no unknown heirs or owners that in the transfer of title could obstruct it. But I mean, for this title search, I mean, is everything done online now, or do they go to the courthouse and like pull out little cards, or you know, is there like a file on every piece of property in a hidden room
that, well, I'm going to give you the typical attorney response, which is it depends. it depends on the county. It depends on how far back in the search we need to go. So, you know, some counties will have online documents. And so you can literally just do the entitled title search online and pull all of the recorded documents from online. Some counties only publish certain things online. So, for example, Rowan County only publishes deeds. They don't publish the deeds of trust or the mortgage documents or the satisfaction. So we actually have to have someone go and a courier go and pull the documents from the files at the Register of Deeds.
Wow. Do they have, I mean, do they have like a, can you do it as a consumer? Can you go down to Rowan County and you can say, hey, I'd like to check and see if there are any deeds of trust, i.e. liens, on my property, and they direct you over to a magic file with your name on it and you look in there?
I mean, not that simple, but yeah, you can go yourself and say, you know, I'm trying to do a search and I'm looking for anything on this property, you know, any kind of mortgages, liens on this particular property. And, you know, the clerks are very good at the Register of Deeds and they can show you, all right, well, you know, here, go use this computer, or actually I need to take you to this spot and have you pull these old deeds. I mean, there's, if you have to go really far back, there's old deed books that you go through, you know, indexes that you look at that are handwritten, really old deeds are handwritten, you know, in cursive, and got to squint your eyes to read it.
Yeah, cursive. Yeah. What's cursive? What's that?
I know. Well, I'd say that 40% of people these days can read cursive.
Yeah, yeah. I remember as a kid learning how to do cursive, sidebar. And, of course, now they don't teach it anymore. I guess you can't. Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be replaced by typing here pretty soon. We won't be writing anything at all, will we? Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. It's very interesting that they don't teach cursive anymore.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about this title search, and let's talk about some common, more common problems. You said before there might be a decedent or an heir that may be a part of the search, or that may be discovered as a part of this. What other things do you see?
You'll find sometimes prior mortgages that were never canceled.
Ooh.
A lot of times this happens when someone refinances their property a couple times, and the new lender that they get with their refinance doesn't actually make sure that the old mortgage gets satisfied. So, you know, people will say to me, well, but I paid off that old mortgage. And that's probably very true. But the fact of the matter is that a necessary document that has to be recorded with the Register of Deeds is a satisfaction. And that puts everybody else on record to let them know that the mortgage was paid in full.
Right.
So that's another big one. Sometimes you'll find liens or mechanics liens on property that should have been paid at the prior closing but weren't taken care of. Possibly just whoever did the search missed it in their search. I mean, you know, we're all humans and we miss things.
Yeah.
So you can find those.
And what about boundary disputes or old things where people, you know I had an old family farm, and one of the boundaries was a buggy spring that was written into the meets and bounds of the actual plat. And, you know, that buggy spring got moved.
Right.
And so that can create a dispute.
Yes, you're right. Anytime we find really old meets and bounds legal description, we are going to recommend that you get an updated survey to correct those.
Yeah, they because, do it with a GPS now.
Right. I mean, things change over time. You know, that oak tree that was there 20 years ago is not there anymore.
Right.
So we need to get that fixed.
Yeah.
We don't see meets and bounds as much, but when it's land and it's been in a family for 40, 50 years, you'll find that you need to get an updated survey done so that you can correct the legal description. Yeah. Sometimes legal descriptions will be written and a call will be missing. That's what we call it. And so it won't close.
Right.
there's an opening, basically, in the legal description. So you want to get that corrected, too.
Right. Well, before we get into title insurance, what happens if there's a problem? What if there is a defect on the title? What do you do?
Well, some of it can be taken care of before closing. So, you know, we have a title curative department, and we handle reaching out to prior mortgage companies to get needed satisfactions, or, you know, we look into and research possibly these unknown heirs that need to now sign a deed, right? So getting a corrective deed signed by the individuals who should have signed prior. So sometimes that's possible. So a lot of the title defects you can fix prior to close. It may take some time, so you may need to be patient, but you can get them fixed. Now, sometimes it's just something that you work really, really hard to get fixed, and there's no way to do that. And sometimes you're going to have to end up doing some kind of quiet title action to get that fixed.
Yeah. And that's
done by some other attorney, because I don't do quiet title.
Shh, we're going to fix it. We're going to make this right. Very quiet title. That's not how it's done. But all right, well, we get back from the break, more with Michelle Wine, and guess what I'm going to talk about, folks? You're not going to believe this. I'm going to talk about service animals. Ooh. Okay. That's going to be popular. The show, Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison here with Michelle Wine from Costner Law Firm and myself with the Jamison Companies. The show, Your Real Estate Today, on a happy Saturday afternoon. We'll be right back on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. It's Paul Jamison, your host from the Jamison Companies, Realty Property Management and Property Investments, here with Michelle Wine with the Costner Law Firm. Before we get back to talking about title insurance and questions about title, I'm going to talk to you about a big topic. And that is, if you're a real estate investor out there and you're talking with tenants, and I'm not talking right now if you're a store owner or anything else. Let's leave that off the table. Let's keep it to real estate. We're going to talk about service animals or assistance animals. Now, I want you to be clear. Before I talk to you about this, I am going to be reading the rules verbatim so that there is no ambiguity. And I am a animal lover. So, you know, I err on the side of the animal, sometimes over the human, just to tell you. But, you know, this is not information to make any kind of judgment. So if you take it that way, don't. All right. You guys have listened to me for more years than we care to count. I don't make judgments. I cite my opinion, but I'm open to everybody's. All right. So here we go. What are you allowed to ask related to a service animal? And if y'all read my book, it is certainly in there. Opportunity is knocking. The person seeking to use and live with the animal that has a disability, and you don't ask what the disability is, it can be a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits one or more major life activity. So, does the person making a request have a disability related to a need for an assistance animal? In other words, does the animal work, provide assistance, or perform a task or service for the benefit of a person with a disability, or provide emotional support that alleviates one or more of the identified symptoms or effects of a person's existing disability? So, the easiest way to summarize that is, what task does the pet perform? That's all you ask. You don't ask, what's your problem so that you need an assistance animal? Nay, nay. That is not it. And I'm not saying that like a horse, so don't take it that way. All right. The question you ask is, what task does the animal perform? Do not ask what the disability is. If it's a no, the dog doesn't perform any task related to the disability, then you can say no. If a yes, you can require documentation that there is a disability, not what it is, and the related need for an assistance animal, especially if the disability is not readily apparent. Again, don't ask what the disability is. The request should be in writing to avoid any misunderstanding. An example, PTSD. That's not always readily apparent. However, I have many good friends in my life that have served our country or been in a traumatic situation that have PTSD. Doesn't mean just because they're a soldier they have PTSD. And they have a need for an assistance animal. Okay? And can make it legit. Also, breed restrictions. Breed restrictions are something that you can have a discussion around. Many insurance companies will nullify your policy if you have those certain breeds in the home. So work with your insurance company to make sure you're talking with them about the situation and that it is in writing and that they're okay with it. Because the homeowner will not be expected to be in a situation where they cannot carry insurance. Okay? So be sensitive around this subject. If you have questions, pick up my book. I've got charts in there and stuff from the ADA. You can read all about it. But I wanted to make sure if you own rental property and they have an animal involved and you don't want an animal and they say it's for that purpose, we wanted you to know what to ask. Next, I just want to do a quick summary of something that comes up on an ongoing basis. Notice how I finished that subject quickly and moved on. All right, next. There is a requirement in the state of North Carolina to explain the real estate agent's job, the J-O-B. Okay? Now, it's one of two requirements. Real estate agent has to tell the buyer or seller what their job is, and second of all, in North Carolina, you can't bring a mule to a wedding. Totally unrelated, but those are still on the books. Okay, anyway. So, here's the thing. There are a few ways to work with your realtor. If you are a buyer and you do not hire your agent to represent you, you need to know that your buyer agent, when he walks through the door with you, if you haven't hired them, is by default working for the seller. Why in the world, it's called sub-agency, why in the world would you want to go look at houses with an agent that's working for the other side? Buyers hire your agent. Most of the time they're paid by the seller. Get somebody the good. If you're just kind of, you know, taking them out for the first time, do I like you? Do you like me? In the words of Bill Gallagher, then okay. So have a buyer agency agreement for one day to make sure you get proper representation. At the end of the day, if you don't like me and I don't like you, then cut it. So that's number one. Number two, there's exclusive agency, meaning that the buyer agent is exclusively working for the buyer and the seller agent is exclusively working for the seller. Ideal scenario, yes. But there's a caveat called dual agency. Dual agency means that, let's say I'm marketing a property for sale and my marketing brings a buyer. And it's my listing. And the buyer says, Paul, I want to make an offer. If you have dual agency, you can write an offer for that buyer while you're representing the seller or anyone under the same broker in charge. Say, in my case, anybody at Keller Williams South Park can write an offer. However, know for me personally, there are only a few cases where I'll ever do both sides of one transaction. Because If you go back to what I believe, I can only serve one master. So if I'm exclusively representing somebody and then I'm working with the buyer, how can you do that? You're working out of both sides of your brain. Not a good idea. The only way it really works is if everybody comes to the table and everybody is open and every discussion is shared mutually. So there's only a few times where that actually works. So that's what's called when designating an agency. So if the buyer comes, I'll designate an agent to take care of that buyer while I represent my seller. Okay? Why does this form exist? To make sure agents get the fiduciary representation that they deserve. The last part of that form that you sign that isn't a contract or an obligation is that the agent is required to use their experience, diligence, skill, and knowledge to help you through the process. So my hope is they got some skill and they got some experience and knowledge, because otherwise you need help. So anyway, always good to explain agency. You know, Michelle has been, as an attorney, she knows exactly what I'm talking about representation and making sure in a closing everybody knows who her client is. Right, Michelle?
Oh, yes. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's important. So always know who's got your back. All right. So after the break, we're going to pick back up with the title with Michelle Wine from Costner Law Firm, myself, Paul Jamison. Hope you're having a good Saturday. We love being with you. The show, Your Real Estate Today, are on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 W. Welcome back. Happy Hula Hawaii Saturday. TJ, you always pick the coolest music, man. You know, if you just want to listen to his music and not to me, no. How about that? We're here to talk real estate with Michelle Wine with Costner Law Firm. I'm Paul Jamison, your host from the Jamison Companies, Realty, Property Management, Property Investments. We've been talking with Michelle about titles and the basis of those, but there's also this thing called title insurance. It's kind of a one-time deal, Michelle. Why wouldn't somebody do this, and why would they do it, I guess, is a better answer.
Well, yeah, I mean, why someone wouldn't do it is definitely beyond me, because it's a very minimal cost, and like you said, it's one time. So why wouldn't you do it? But title insurance, you know, it's going to protect you if anything comes up after you've bought the property. I mean, when you buy property, you want to believe that you have free and clear ownership of the property, that you're not going to have to deal with any issues. You know, you're not going to have to deal with anybody coming up to your house and saying, I'm owed money because I did work on this property. Right? Who wants to deal with something like that? Nobody does.
Right.
So, you know, title insurance, if you're getting a loan when you're purchasing your property, you're already having to pay for the lender's title insurance. So you might as well pay the additional cost for the owner's title insurance. And, you know, the price does vary. It's based on the sale price of the property and your loan amount, but typically speaking, it is not super costly. You might as well just pay for it when you buy the property. Yep. It's going to provide that peace of mind for you. And every time I've seen someone not buy title insurance, those are the files that we find issues in the title.
Yeah.
And if they had just paid, you know, the minimal amount for the policy, they would have been protected.
Yeah. Let's, I mean, we had an example of that we worked with, I think it was a couple of years ago. Let's call the client's secret name Eric, for example. And he bought a piece of property with cash. And I remember it like it was yesterday. He called me and he goes, Paul, he goes, why do I need to buy title insurance? I'm paying cash. And I said, dude, get it. Okay. 2 years later, there was a claim against his title for a line of credit that had a balance on it that wasn't caught in the title search for $69,000.
Oh, wow.
Guess what? Title insurance paid for it. Title insurance paid for it.
They took care of it.
They did. I think he's a believer now. Yeah. All right, so what types of titles are there? Let's do some basic stuff. Well, wait a minute. I want to ask one more before that. All right, so let's say you're out there right now and you have a family home, right? You got a mm-hmm. home that you inherited from mom and dad or grandmammy and grandpappy, and you got this house and you got the deed to it, but you don't have any title insurance. Can you get it? And how do you get it?
Yes. You need to have an attorney do a title search for you.
Okay.
And
what
make
does that
sure
cost?
That everything looks good, and then you can request a title insurance policy through, you know, whichever title insurance company you wish to go with. So get the title search done. So it's going to cost you, you know, maybe $150, $275 to get a title search done, depending on how far back the attorney needs to go.
Uh-huh.
And then you can get a policy to
right.
protect you.
Right. Now, we didn't really talk about this, but there are also issues in that, for example, there are exemptions to title insurance and can be, correct? Like if
That's
you don't
correct.
Do a survey when you purchase your property, anything related to not doing that survey, right?
Right, right. So if you don't get a survey when you purchase the property, then how we put it is anything that could have been discovered through a survey. So there's an encroachment and your neighbor's fence is encroaching on your property, or there's a setback issue, right? So they built onto the home and they're violating a building setback, right? Any issue you could have discovered by getting that survey, the title insurance company will not insure over it. So you will be responsible for getting those things corrected if, you know, say the next buyer trying to buy your property wants them corrected, you're responsible for paying the cost to get those items corrected.
Okay. All right. So let me ask a couple of questions related to that. So let's say you buy a piece of property in your name and you quit claim it. Meaning you transfer the title over to an LLC. Do you need to tell your title insurance company you've done that?
You don't necessarily need to. I mean, I would.
Yeah.
To let them know what's going on.
Yeah.
Your coverage is still going to continue, you know, through the ownership. But okay. It is good to let them know. So when you quitclaim deed, you know, you're basically not certifying to anything. So if a lien was put on your property in the time period between you quitclaiming it to the LLC, you know, title insurance companies is kind of going to back off on that because you've allowed it to be transferred without making sure that was taken care of beforehand.
Right.
Because, you know, with a quitclaim deed, the thing is that you're saying you're not warranting to any kind of title. So you're not doing a search.
Right.
You're not making sure. I see this happen a lot, not necessarily to an LLC, because usually when people quitclaim to an LLC, they've just bought the property
right.
in their individual name.
Right.
But I've seen it where a couple would quitclaim it out from one person to the other. And there is actually a lien that attached during that period. So now, say you quitclaimed it from your mom to yourself, and before you quitclaimed it, your mom had a lien put on the property.
Yeah, she went to Vegas, and
yeah.
It was bad.
She racked it up.
Yeah.
So now you're going to have to deal with that issue when you go to sell the property because she didn't make a warrant that there was no problems with the property. So you took the property with all of the issues attached to it.
Welcome. All right, so one of the two people that buy it get married and their last name changes. Do they need to change their title insurance?
You don't need to change it just because of a change in the name.
Okay. What office of the court handles the deeds?
So the Register of Deeds in each county handles the recording of the deed and any mortgage. So if you need to look into anything, you would go to the Register of Deeds for that.
Right, but you can do, like in Meck County, you can do it online, right? So if people want to go look at their deed, they can jump online there and go sniff around, can't they?
Yes. So it's public information. So we always tell people when they're purchasing a home, I always tell buyers, you need to be mindful that this is public information.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can go on the Register of Deeds website and look and see that you just bought a home. So,
right.
You know, be mindful of that with scams and things like that, that you may get after closing.
Right. All right. So one more question for you. This happens a lot. Parents want to transfer title to their children of a piece of property. What is the best way to do that? Is it better to have a shared title with the parent's name still on it? And are there any effects in title insurance, or can mom and dad just give it to the kids and the title insurance moves to the kids if they just do a straight transfer, along with all the other debts and things on it, like you said?
Right. I mean, you can do a deed transfer if you'd like. I think the best way, I guess it depends on what their purpose of transferring the ownership or the title to their children is, right? Do they want it to happen once they've passed away? Well, in that case, I think you need to do a will.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Because then it is specifically shown who's supposed to be getting your property after you passed away, and your title insurance coverage with your parents would automatically transfer to you.
Yeah, right. Do a will. Costner can do that for you. How do they reach Costner, Michelle?
You can reach Costner Law at 980-219-7637.
Yeah, thank you for being with us. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. You can reach us at 846-DONE, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamisonhomes.com. We get it done. Take care. Have a great Saturday. God bless. We'll talk to you next week. The show, Your Real Estate Today, on Newstalk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Take care, all.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.